Once again, I hope all of you are doing well on this Sunday evening as we gather once again, as we say goodbye to the weekend and get ready for the work week. You have decided to spend your time studying the Word of God, and that's always a good thing. So let's turn with me before we go to our text. Last time we left off in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But before we go there, if you choose to, turn with me to Jude chapter 1, and we are going to read verses 3 and 4. Jude is the book right before the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, end of the New Testament. So Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says this. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into the lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So this is Jude, and although it is only 28 verses book, it's a very deep portion of scripture. It teaches us a lot, and Jude, he's the half-brother of Jesus. As he writes this, he says, "When I sat down, I wanted to talk to you about some nice things. I wanted to talk to you about our common salvation. I wanted to encourage you." But as he sat down to write, the Holy Spirit led him to write about certain men who have crept unnoticed. And then the rest of the chapter, rest of the book, talks to us about false teacher and the judgment of God, and so forth. The reason we are opening up in Jude is this is where exactly where we left off in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13 says this, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." As we opened up this chapter, it started to talk to us about perilous time, those last days when the men will be all focused on self. And we looked at those tremendous portion of scripture, the first 9 verses, where it talks to us about the ungodly, those who will distort the truth, despisers of good, unforgiving, unloving, unthankful, unholy. You know, all the characteristic of these men who are like Jannes and Jambres, right? False teachers. That's what Paul was warning Timothy about. That's exactly what Jude is talking to us about in verse 3 and 4. And as we came to the Bible study last week, and we came to verse 10, Paul once again reminded Timothy that, "But you didn't have a teacher like that. I was your teacher. I have mentored you. I have taught you the right doctrine. You have seen the manner of my life. You have seen my purpose. You have seen my faith. You have an example. You have a role model to follow. And that's what you need to do." And we kind of spoke about what all of that persecution means, right? As we ended the Bible study last week, we were talking about, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And I know I spoke about various things, the challenges and so forth that all of us face from time to time. And I hope the word was encouraging to you. But as we see in verse 13, once again, Paul tells Timothy, "Don't worry about those people that I talked to you about earlier, because they are going to continue to grow. They are continue to have more and more prominence." And again, I want to remind you, he's speaking about this prominence is in the church, not in the world. The world always was filled with people who were unholy, unloving, and all of the stuff that we learn. This is in the church. This is in the household of God, where the men will creep in, as Jude talks to us, right? These are the false teachers. These are the wolves in sheep clothing, a warning that we see over and over again. And as the word says here, they will continue to deceive. And the only way not to be deceived is knowing and being grounded in the word of God. And this is why the next few verses that we have a tremendous portion of scripture in front of us. It is so rich that, you know, there is so much to say. And I'm not going to rush through it. It is highly unlikely that we are going to finish this chapter today. And as I've been thinking about this portion of scripture and verse 16, which is very familiar to us, most of us have, at one time or another, have quoted that scripture. I know often I use that portion of scripture when we are facing a tough portion of scripture and say, hey, why is this thing in the Bible? We have to remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know what a tremendous verse that is. But even before we get there, you know, and as I was preparing for this Bible study, I just couldn't get past verse 15. It is such a deep verse there. And I think it is important that we understand what is being said in this next few verses. Right, there is one thing that we have to remember, and if you have been a part of this Bible study, I have a tremendous amount of burden for the Word of God. I'm a stickler for a Word of God. I challenge, whenever I see something even little bit off from what the Scripture is trying to say. And there is a lot of things that you can build your ministry on from a very beginning. One of the things that God had put in my heart is, and the journey that I am on, and we are doing all these various Bible studies, and we've been doing it for about 11, 12 years. Very first thing, how it all started is, hey, we need to learn the Word of God. That was the whole basis of starting a Bible study. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. I am about the Word of God. And I think those of you who know me probably can testify that about me. I hope you can testify that about me, that I bow down to the authority of the Scripture. And it has always been my goal to teach the Word of God. Now, perhaps at times I might not understand it completely, but whatever I understand, I try to stay as close to the Scripture as possible. And there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that you can do, right? There is the evangelism. There is the ministries, different ministries in the church. You can serve your local church in a different capacity as an elder, as a Sunday school teacher, whatever the case might be, right? There are people who have a prayer ministry. There are people who have a burden for those who are who are elder. Those who are struggling, and they like to help them, and all of those things are wonderful, but none of those are a substitute for the Word of God. All of those things are at the right place, but all of it should come from the Word of God. That has to be. Any church has to be based on the Word of God, of the teaching of the Word of God. And if there is anything. If there is any portion of scripture that makes that clear, is this portion of scripture. And that's why we are going to spend a couple of weeks understanding what it means when we talk about Word of God. When we look at the Word of God, there are two meanings to it, right? The word Jesus is called the Word of God. And then the spoken word, the scripture, as we read it, the Bible, is considered the Word of God. And it's important that we understand what that means. What that means, okay? So let's look at verse 14 and 15. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So Paul just told Timothy who the evil men are. He again reminded him that they are going to continue to grow. Don't be discouraged. Don't have a spirit of timidity, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned, meaning the scripture that you have learned, the truth that he has been taught from the very young age, the things that Paul has taught him. And he says, and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, meaning it's the source. You know who I am. You know who your mother and grandmother are. These are solid, God-fearing people. These are not the people I just described. And basically what Paul is saying is our life has reflected the faith that we confess. The things that we have taught you, we have walked in that truth. And so this is very, very important for us to understand. To become a defender of the word, you have to be mentored by somebody who is also a defender of the word. So as I often, and lately it seems like that I'm singing the same tune and I'm harping on this point because it's so important for you to be learning, sitting at the right place. Because if you are not learning the word of God, then how are you going to defend the word of God? When the word of God is being compromised, where you are sitting and learning or who you are sitting and learning from, how are you ever going to become a defender of the word? And so Paul again reminds Timothy, knowing from whom you have learned them. You have to know who you are learning from. Right? What is the source? Then he goes on to say in verse 15, he says, and that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures. Now, if I take you back to chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, look what it says over there, okay? It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also, okay? So from a very young age, from the moment that he was born into this world, his mom and his grandmother, who had a sincere faith, were teaching this child. You know, so often we talk about women pastors and in the leadership, right? But one thing that should not ever get lost is the importance that the scripture puts, okay? The importance the scripture puts on the role of a mother, role of a woman in a spiritual growth of a child. How the next generation is built is dependent on a godly woman. That is very clear in the scripture. And so here you see, Paul is reminding Timothy that from the childhood who you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, when you read Holy Scripture there, what does that mean? If you look at the original Greek translation, that literally means Old Testament. You see, when we who have grown up on the other side of the cross, right, where we know the Jesus, the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, what he has done for us on the cross, and the resurrection and so forth, we forget that the salvation is from the Old Testament. Old Testament speaks about the translation. I mean, about the salvation, right? It's not that you don't get to salvation in Old Testament. And this is an important thing that we need to understand. You know, I want to draw your attention to one particular verse. It comes in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Look what it says. And I hope you pay attention because this is going to be a study on the word of God. What does it mean? What does the scripture mean? And what does it mean to you? Right? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I have sent it. Did you grasp the truth in that? It says my word, and I want you to understand, I want you to remember this part, my mouth, because that's something, I don't know if we are going to get to it today, perhaps it will be the next week, but that's an important fact that we need to remember, that you have heard from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. All right, so God's word, God's spoken word does what it is intended to do. It accomplishes what I please. So it is the will of God that it is being accomplished. And he said it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Meaning the word of God, there is growth with that word of God. Okay? This is a Old Testament book, Isaiah 55, that I am reading from. Okay? When you look at what we just read in verse 15, that from the childhood, these two women understood the importance of the commandments, important of the Old Testament. Because when you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, look what it says there, right? And this advice is still good today. If you plan to have kids, if you have young kids, if you have old kids, whatever the age might be, this advice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 still holds true. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So first it begins with you, right? Before you teach, because there are so many parents, they want to teach Bible to their kids. But first it has to start from your own heart. It says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You can't teach something which you don't know. You know, kids have a great sense of when somebody is fake. They have a great sense, okay? Because when they know this adult is not sincere, right? If you are faking it, they can sense it. So you can only teach if you actually believe and you diligently follow, okay? And then he goes on to say, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. This Lois and Eunice understood this. Okay? Understood this. And they taught Timothy from a very young age. I want you to notice something, and it's a critical point that we have, okay? It's not enough to have learned the scripture. Because devil, Satan, knows scripture very well. Right? He was quoting scripture with Jesus. That's his, that's how much he knows scripture. So it's not enough to have learned the scripture. It's not enough to be assured that the teaching of scripture are true. Because there are many people who are completely lost. They believe that Bible is true. They believe it. They never badmouth the Bible. They never say anything bad about the Bible. Yeah, that's a holy book. They will say all of those things. But it's not enough that you admit the teaching of Scripture are true. It's also not enough to know that your teachers teach the truth. Right? It doesn't do anything, any good to Timothy knowing that Paul, Eunice, and Lois were true teachers. It's great that they were true teachers and they taught Timothy. We can be sitting under true teachers and learning the truth. All of that is not enough. Timothy knew all of this. He had learned the scripture and he had found the scripture to be true. Right? But the claims and promises of scripture that worked in his own life, there is one thing that we have to remember. That we must continue. That word continue is important. Mene. It means to abide, dwell, remain, and stay in the scripture. Basically, if I were to tell you, you have to live the scripture. It's not enough that you have the scripture memorized. It's not enough that you read Bible. You may read 10 chapters a day. Some of you might read 5 chapters a day. I hear all the time, I have read the Bible 40 times and I have read Bible 60 times. right? That becomes just something that you becomes your routine. Are you living the scripture? Does it abide in you? Does it guide your daily decisions? Do you look at everything through the lens of scripture? Every decision that you make, every step that you take, do you bow down to the authority of the scripture? And that's an important point that we have to remember, that you have to continue in living in this scripture. And when you understand this Old Testament truth and what is being said over here, then we are going to have a better sense of what all of this means. Another verse that I want to give you is Psalm 19:7. Look what it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So what does the word have an ability to do? Okay, when we see here the law of the Lord, the law is referring to the scripture. Okay, it doesn't say that keeping the law makes you perfect. The law that God gave to Moses is perfect. There is nothing wrong with that. It's not going to save you, because no one can keep the law. But it says when you understand the law, when you understand how hard it is to do what is being asked, okay, it should lead you to Jesus, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Whenever we hear the disciples talk about the scripture, there was no New Testament. They were referring to the Old Testament. That is their scripture. And here what we have is, you know, this is the work of the Word. The Word is able to make you wise for salvation. What is able to make you wise for salvation? The Old Testament scripture. Because when you study the Old Testament scripture, when you see what is written in there, you understand that you need salvation. And the truth that we learn in the New Testament does not change, which comes in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Right? That's where the disciples say, nor is there a salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So yes, it makes you wise to the salvation, but the salvation comes through Jesus. This is important for us to understand, and this is just kind of an introduction to the Bible study we are going to have next week. Okay? When we actually study all scripture. So when you look at the Old Testament, okay, Old Testament reveals the holiness of God. We are going through the book of Leviticus, and we look at how holy God is. In Old Testament, we understand the character of God. We understand the sinfulness of men. Okay, we see the divide that is between a man and God. There is no way we can approach God in our sinful nature. There is a great divide, right? That eating of that fruit, the sin entering into the human life on the earth in Genesis chapter 3 caused this divide, this separation. The Old Testament tells you about that. All Old Testament also teaches us that as a sinful man, even the sacrificial system of animals is not enough. There is nothing that can bring us closer to God than the cross. We understand from the Old Testament that we need a Redeemer. We need a Savior, okay? And that Savior comes in the New Testament, the New Covenant, right? Then basically, Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament can lead you to God, to trust God, to understand God's mercy and completely throw yourself at His mercy. But the Old Testament will show you are not saved. You have no human goodness. You can't earn your way into the favor of God. So this is how the Old Testament can lead you to salvation. This is how it leads you to salvation. But look what it says, the rest of the verse, what it says over there is important, right? Which are able to make you wise for salvation, but through what? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Right? It can only, the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Unless you put your faith in Christ Jesus, it's not for believing's sake. Right? Even the demons believe, as the scripture says. It's not just believing. It's not just like, oh, I have faith. I have faith. What do you have faith in? It is the faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other name by which you can be saved. He is the only mediator between God and men. So it's not just simply because there are, look, I come from India. There are a billion people and they have tremendous amount of faith. Because it takes a tremendous amount of faith to worship a statue, which looks like an elephant, or worship a monkey god. That takes a tremendous amount of faith. They have that faith, okay? They don't even have the Holy Scriptures. They just have faith. Some people have faith in faith. But if that faith means nothing, because you have to have a faith in Jesus Christ. You have to have a faith in Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is what is being taught in the Old Testament. Look at what John chapter 5, verse 39 and verse 40 say. Okay, Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40 says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Pharisees. He's speaking to the high priest. He's speaking to all those people who thought they were holier than thou. They took pride in knowing the scripture. That says, "You search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." When he says, "these are they," who? What is Jesus speaking of? What is he referring to? He's referring to Old Testament. "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Yes, you can search the scripture. The scripture will lead you to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, that's how you have life. This is the word of God. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan, he quoted scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3 says, "But man lives by every word that proceeds." Again, remember, from the mouth of the Lord. It says, from the mouth of the Lord. "Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Now you can look at this and you can look at it from a physical hunger point of view. Yes, and there is that thought, because it talks about the manna. Okay? But the whole purpose of that verse is that you will have eternal life by the mouth, what proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. It's the word that gives you life. We are all dead. We are all born dead. We are all headed toward eternal death. It is only the word of God that brings life into our life. Only the word of God that brings life into our life. John chapter 5, verse 24 says this, okay? "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death into life." How do you have eternal life? When you hear my word, okay, you can only hear something that mouth speaks. "And believe in him who sent me has everlasting life." Again, speaking of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a revelation of God. Remember that, okay? Old Testament shows us what God is like, what God expects from us, what God tolerates, okay? How God loves, how God is perfectly just, how he desires holiness, and how he punishes sin. We learn the character of God, who God is, God the Father is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, is God the Son is revealed. It's the message of Son, okay? And S-O-N, Son. Understanding his work and his ministry and what he has done for us. Old Testament, God spoke. New Testament, God spoke. What we have is the Word of God. This is our foundation, is the Word of God. And if you are going to build your spiritual life, it better be on this Word of God. Better be on this Word of God. If you deviate from it, if your hope is on the church that you go to, because of the way you took baptism or way how you are serving in the church, if you have built your spiritual life on any of those things, they are a house that is built on a sand. Have you built your spiritual house on the Word of God? The Word that reveals and speaks to us about Jesus Christ. Anything else? Right? This is what Paul is telling Timothy. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Are you one of those people who only read New Testament? Are you one of those people, and I hope you are not if you are part of this Bible study, that only believe the red letters in the Bible are the Bible. The rest of it is meaningless. If you are one of those people and you have never opened Old Testament, you are missing out. From the childhood who you have known the Holy Scripture. When you understand, right? And this is so important for us to understand. The Old Testament is not telling us about the history of Israel. Yeah, that's part of it, but that's not the main theme of it. The main theme of the Old Testament is who God is and how he is going to redeem us. That's the story of the Old Testament. That's the theme of Genesis 1 to Revelation. It is God's plan for us, who God is and how he's going to redeem us, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Has the Word of God brought you to that place where you know that you need a Savior? And if it has, then through faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. And as we close this Bible study, I want to repeat the word that we hear so often in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, right? That this is what God is speaking to the church. Those who have ears, hear what God is saying. Oh, Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I, Lord, once again, I just pray, Lord, give us the ears to hear what you are saying to us, Lord. Lord, help us to understand what the Word of God is, Lord. How precious this Bible is, Lord. How precious studying the Bible is, Lord. Lord, I hope we just don't just take it lightly. That we sit down and we read maybe a chapter or two or a few verses, or you pick up something like a daily bread and read a couple of verses, Lord, and we don't dive into the depth that is in this scripture, Lord, which speaks to us about your love for us, Lord, and what you have done. So I pray, Lord, I pray, give us the understanding, Lord. And Lord, as we continue this Bible study next week, Lord, I just submit myself into your hand, Lord, that you really speak to us and show us what a scripture truly means. Once again, Lord, I submit each and every person here into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.